Join the conversation.
As much as most of our focus today is going to be local, we can't ignore the fact that there's something quite big going on internationally. There's really a sense of the world watching and waiting and holding its breath today as the first polls open in the USA while we're on air this afternoon. States including Arizona and Virginia and New York and Missouri will be amongst the first to see their ballots cast. They're opening at 6 a.m. local time, the rest following shortly thereafter. And most of the voting stations are going to be open for a full 12 hours at least. It's very hard to answer the question as to when we're going to start seeing results that have real credibility. Different states have got different rules about how they tackle voting, particularly when it comes to the issue of the advance votes which have been tallied, which have been sent in rather. Some of them wait until voting day to count those. Some have already decided they would count them in advance. So it's quite a haphazard sort of approach with different states doing things differently, and as a result it's very hard to track what will come in firmly when. The important thing to know, though, is that close to 100 million people have already cast their votes, and some did so because of concerns about COVID-19 and choosing rather to vote by mail than to stand in a queue with other people. For others, it is pure and simple eagerness to make sure that their voice is heard in this particular poll, given how absolutely divisive the election campaign has been and how relatively lower turnout last time round impacted the result. Speaking of turnout figures, for those who are wondering about the total number of possible voters, so out of a population of 380 million or so, it's estimated that around 230 million Americans might be eligible to vote. There are various criteria there, and again, some are excluded by nature of criminal records, some are excluded because they didn't bother to register in time, etc. But roughly 230 million seems to be the figure that could vote. 60% of them did so in 2016, and that number is expected to rise and rise quite substantially this time round. Pundits are predicting that possibly as many as 17 to 20 million extra voters will show up this time round. They are saying this could well be the election that has the highest ever voter turnout in American history. So it's going to be a hotly contested day. Now, it's the small hours of the morning in the US right now, so a live interview would have been very, very difficult. Instead, I sat down for a Zoom interview early this morning, our time, with an election analyst in California. So it was late last night, his time, when we spoke. Grant Harris is a graduate of Yale Law School. He was a special advisor to President Barack Obama during the Obama terms. He served as the White House's senior director for African affairs under that administration. And these days, he's kept his close ties with Africa. He heads up Harris Africa Partners, which is a firm specializing in advising companies on the risks and the opportunities of doing business in Africa. He actually lectures on the same subject at several leading institutions, including Northwestern University and UCLA. We chatted by Zoom, so apologies, the sound quality is not going to be as good as a live on-air studio interview, but time differences being as they were, this was the best we could do. Let's take a listen.
Grant, I think for the sake of South African voters who won't be accustomed to the American voting system, let's start with just some broad strokes of how your voting process actually works. Because it's not necessarily a case of the candidate who gets the most public votes wins the election. In fact, several times in previous polls, that's been the opposite has happened. Can you give us a sense of what choices voters are actually making today and what's going to be on their ballots and how this process works? Is it the same in every state, or will different voters in different states see different things?
Absolutely. It does vary by state for many of the state-specific races. Of course, everyone will be voting for the president and vice president as a ticket. And then there are also 35 Senate seats that are up for grabs right now. The House of Representatives always. And then in some states, it'll vary for statewide offices, countywide offices, city measures. And so in each state, each county, you may see some different things to vote on. But of course, the biggest item right now is who will be the next president of the United States, or will Donald Trump be reelected, or will Joe Biden be elected?
Those aren't the only two names on the ballot, though. I think worth a mention, it's actually a pretty long list of faces that they're going to see on those tickets.
It's true. When I voted today, it was 5 different pages. Wow. It included some 15 different measures. I live in California, so there are a lot of statewide propositions that have to do with bond measures, taxes, education policy. I voted for who I wanted on school board and county commissioners, and then, of course, the statewide and federal offices, as I mentioned. So there is a lot of voting to be done.
Okay. Realistically, there are only two options in the presidential race, even though there are other candidates standing. And as you say, it comes down to, does Trump get reelected or does Biden take over? As I mentioned, it's not just about who gets the most votes. Can you briefly sketch for us how the Electoral College system works?
Yes. The Electoral College system, I think, is not intuitive for many Americans or non-Americans. But the idea is there are 538 electoral votes possible. And the first candidate, the candidate to reach 270 or more, will then be declared the victor. And each state has a certain amount of electoral votes. It has to do with how many members in Congress that state has. So in California, we have well over 50 because we're a very populous state. And in other states that are much smaller, they can have as few as 3. And in most states, if you win the vote in that state, you get all of the electoral votes for that state. Let me put that in a little bit more perspective. So the well over 100 million people voted in the 2016 election, close to 140 million people voted. The election was really decided in favor of Donald Trump by about 80,000 votes in 3 key states. He won in Michigan by 0.2%. He won in Pennsylvania by 0.7%, in Wisconsin by 0.8%. All of those 80,000 votes, more or less, gave him 46 electoral college votes, which was a big block of votes then that put him over the total of 270 that was needed. And so the idea is, even though one candidate may win the most votes, like Hillary Clinton won millions more votes than Donald Trump did, because he won in certain states that gave him the right number of electoral college votes, he was the victor in the presidential contest.
Okay. The question then is which are the big states to watch today? Which are the most hotly contested ones, the ones that are likely to sway the outcome?
There are a lot of states that we're calling swing states. They're toss-up states: Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, North Carolina, Ohio, Texas even. The one in particular to watch, many say, is Pennsylvania, because the margin is so small by which it might be decided and the number of votes that we're talking about is so significant. And the notable thing is that there are a lot of states being contested, even ones that Trump won, some of them handily in 2016. The polls are showing Joe Biden has a slim lead in many of these states, but we'll have to see what happens tomorrow when the votes start being tabulated.
Grant, a lot of voters have already voted, a quite staggering number, in fact. And talk to us a little bit about how so many people came to vote in advance of Election Day. Is it to do with COVID-19 or is it more than that?
I think it's more than that. This is a very energized electorate, and there are a lot of voters who feel that the stakes are incredibly high on both sides. Nearly 100 million people have voted so far. That's about 68% of the entire total of people who voted in 2016. And so we're really on track to have a record-breaking election if that holds true tomorrow. And as much as we talk about Election Day, which is Tuesday, it's really been more of a process in previous days and even previous weeks. In certain states, they each have their own rules for how the voting works in many cases, but people have been voting by mail, in person, in early voting, dropping off ballots and the like. And so we have seen very high interest and very high turnout in this election.
Do we have any indication of the spread of that turnout? Young voters are always interesting. Traditionally, I know certainly here in South Africa, there's a sense of voter apathy among younger voters. You've referred to a very energized electorate. Is that across the board, across all the age ranges? Do you have any stats on who is already turning out to vote?
In terms of what the predictions are, what they've based on with respect to the political parties of who these voters have been, it's tended to lean more Democratic. And more Republicans have been saying that they plan to vote on Election Day itself. As helpful or as interesting as that is, really, we don't know what the outcome is going to be in many of these swing states, despite the polling, despite the forecasts, despite as many guesses have been divined from the number of votes already cast.
Okay. Grant, as you mentioned, there have been all kinds of different ways of voting in advance. One of those was a drive-through voting system that the Republicans were challenging in court. And I think that case was being heard within the last 24 hours. Do you know perhaps what the outcome has been?
The outcome so far is that the Republican request to have those votes rejected has been rejected or denied. Okay. They tried in state court in Texas to throw out 127,000 or so ballots that were involved in drive-by voting. They tried also in federal court, and they're now appealing that rejection at the federal level to the appellate process. So far, the courts have said that this was a legitimate process. It's one that the county had put out, and that over 100,000 people had made use of it. And so hopefully that stands.
On election day itself, potential problem points, challenges of the day ahead. One of the red flags has been mutterings from certainly the Trump camp about faith, loss of faith in the election system, and whether Americans can trust the outcome of the vote. Is that a widely held opinion?
It's not a widely held opinion, though President Trump has tried to sow discord and spread a lot of disinformation about the quality and the reliability of these voting processes. Really, electoral fraud is incredibly rare and not widespread. And he's been saying things that are effectively saying that the process is rigged if he doesn't win, which is a really illegitimate stance to take.
Having said that, though, if he holds to that stance, if he loses the election and tries to challenge the outcome in court, talk to us about which level of court presides over that kind of challenge and what that means, because we know certainly Supreme Court is now weighted in a different way than it was just a few months ago. If it does end up going to court, would there be concern that the case would be fairly heard?
That is a concern. And this is going to be litigated in state and federal courts, depending on the outcome in these swing states. And Republicans have filed a record-breaking number of challenges in the courts. There have been some 400 election-related court cases filed so far. And President Trump has said that if he doesn't win at the ballot box, he'll send in lawyers and win in the courtroom. I don't think that that's going to hold up. But I do really hope that on Tuesday we have a clear outcome with these key swing states and that it's really decided clearly at the ballot box without any room for shenanigans.
That is obviously the outcome everybody, I think, would hope for, that there is no no room to engage with the argument. How likely is it, do you think? I mean, I know polling is not an exact science, but as we head into Election Day, are there clear indications that there will be an outright winner either way?
It's unclear what we'll see on Tuesday night in the United States. Some states have different rules about when they start counting the ballots, how quickly they'll know. In some parts of Pennsylvania, they don't start counting the ballots until the next day. And so it's conceivable that the margin of victory is so great that you could know the outcome in enough states that there would be a winner. But it's also entirely conceivable that we won't have a clear picture as all of these votes are coming in. In some states as well, they will count votes that are postmarked, meaning that they're mailed before or by election day, but as they don't need to be received by election day. Yeah. And if the margin is that tight, if you wouldn't know the winner until every single vote is counted, you could see this really dragging out in some states. So everyone is asking themselves that same question. What will we see on Tuesday night in the United States? I think we'll see some early returns from some key states, but nobody knows for sure.
Okay. If it is a Biden victory, what's the transition process from there? When would the changeover in the White House actually happen?
On January 20th, 2021.
Okay. Simple as that. Grant, anything else you'd like South African listeners to know about the election process that lies ahead, or any comments you'd like to make about your expectations of the day?
Everyone here is on pins and needles to see what will happen. I'm excited by the turnout. I'm one of millions who have very strong views on this election, and I'm hoping for a clear outcome for my candidate, Joe Biden. We'll see what happens.
That was Grant Harris, who is a former servant of the Obama administration, served under President Barack Obama as the White House's Senior Director for African Affairs. These days heads up Harris Africa Partners, which is a firm specializing in providing investment advice and advice to companies wishing to do business in Africa from the United States. Lectures on that subject as well at various American universities. So yes, interesting. Yeah, somebody's WhatsApp to say it's nice to hear someone talking about the American election in a totally unbiased and nonpartisan way for a change. You sent that message before he got to the bit where he said quite firmly who he hopes will win. I don't know if that's changed your position, but I thought he did a very good job of giving a very even and balanced just picture for us of what to expect from the day ahead. Somebody has questioned the figure of Hillary Clinton winning by winning 3 million more votes, saying, is that correct? Yes, it is. And it's not the first time that's happened. Of course, if you follow American elections, you'll know that the same thing happened back in 2000 with the Bush versus Gore election, where the candidate who actually won more votes numerically did not win sufficient seats in the Electoral College to win the election. So, and in fact, it's happened three other times in American history, going back to the 1820s. If you are interested in knowing, the first time it happened was in 1824, happened again in 1876 and 1888. So presidents John Quincy Adams, Rutherford Hayes, and Benjamin Harrison all took up their seats in the White House, having won fewer actual votes than their opposition candidates did. And then, of course, the same applying to George W. Bush in 2000 and Donald Trump in 2016. And who knows what will happen. I share Grant's sentiment that I think it would be a better outcome for everyone if there was an emphatically clear result based on the polling by the end of today or tomorrow morning, whenever we start to get a clearer picture. Certainly would simplify things, and I think let people feel more trust going forward, not having to see the election fought out in a court after the day of the polls. So we'll be keeping you posted. It's very early in the morning over there right now. Some of the polls are starting to open as we speak. There is a long day of voting ahead. The polls were only closed at 1:30 or 2:00 in the morning, South African time, tomorrow morning. So I think by tomorrow, by the time we come to air, we should be starting, hopefully, to get a better picture of what comes next.